Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Choga.
Greetings, my friend. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Lovely. Great to have you here on the show. Excited to be speaking to you. And I do understand that we'll be taking this piecemeal until Friday. So I'm glad that you are here this afternoon. Now, we're talking about stewardship this week. And of course, the word steward, which we understand to be meaning manager, is mentioned quite a number of times in the Bible. Sometimes the actual term is used and sometimes it's discussed in principle. Now, Adventists, to those who are joining us, listening to the radio, Adventists define a good Christian steward as someone who understands God is the creator and owner of everything. However, God then empowers us as managers of the blessings that he gives us. And he's entrusted us with the time and opportunities, abilities and possessions, and the blessings and of the earth and its resources. And this is what we understand. But of course, I'm just saying this as a background. The pastor will give us even a much more better in-depth understanding. Now, Pastor, as you give us that understanding, please couple it with what the earliest biblical reference we have for stewardship in the scripture.
Okay. The earliest reference for stewardship, I think we can look at it in two ways. There is the mention of the concept of stewardship, and then there is also the actual use of the word that is translated steward.
Mm.
So the first word that can directly be translated steward is found in the book of Genesis.
Mm.
Genesis chapter 43, 44. Referring to the man who was in charge of Joseph's household.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual word is aser el bayit in Hebrew.
Okay.
The person is over a household, in front of or in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So this person might also be called an overseer.
Okay.
But you'll notice that this is the same concept with Eliezer, who was in Abraham's household.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eliezer was also an overseer of Abraham's household, although this word is not the one that is actually used.
Okay.
But if we want to really go back to the roots, you will get to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, where God creates man in his image after his own likeness.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he gives men dominion over everything that God has created.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of being in charge, of being an overseer, that's the concept of stewardship according to the Bible.
Oh, okay. All right. That's lovely. So basically God creates everything that he does on earth, puts Adam and Eve there, and then he says, guys, take care of everything. And that's basically the concept.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Ah.
And maybe to enrich that idea,
okay,
I want to take you to Joseph when he was placed to be overseer in Potiphar's household.
Yes, 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 yes.
When you read Genesis chapter 39, verse 6, the Bible says Potiphar left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. So an overseer is a bit different from the general manager that we would have in modern times. This person takes care of someone else's household or business as if it was theirs in their absence. But they always do it with the reference to the owner. The owner does not come and say, do this today, do that, do that. No, the vision, the direction, everything comes from the overseer, but they do it on behalf of the owner.
So basically they take your life and run it for you.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a quite very interesting one. Now, what's the purpose of stewardship then? Using the example of Adam and Eve that you gave, I mean, surely in a perfect world, God didn't necessarily need their help, as it were. I mean, just like in a financial sense today, I suppose we can agree there that God doesn't need our money. So what's the purpose then?
You know, that is a very, very interesting question. And I'm happy to answer it because it's a question that I have struggled with also, to say, why did God need a steward? Let me begin by this approach to answer your question. When God created man, he didn't create man out of necessity, but God created man out of desire. So God deliberately sat down and says, I want to have a creature, and this creature is going to be called a man. You know, there are multiple stories on the creation and how we came to be on this earth when you look at many different cultures, apart from our biblical Christian story. And the striking thing is all these other stories show that creation was done out of necessity. There was a need. But the creation story actually shows that no, there was no need, but out of a desire, God, the master workman, decided to create human beings. And as he creates them so that he can delight in them. So when you're reading the book of Proverbs chapter 8, God rejoices in the sons of men as he is creating them. That is Proverbs chapter 8, verse 31. So God created men for fellowship with him. But as he creates them, he put them in the Garden of Eden for a period of probation before they could enjoy full fellowship with God. So I can read you a number of texts that actually show that God's destiny for men is so that men can fellowship with God and be close with God at every time. That's why as you're reading the Bible from the Old Testament right up to the end, you will see God's purpose. God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you so that I can come and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you might be also. As you get to the end, Revelation chapter 21, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will be their God and they shall be his people. God has always wanted to have this close fellowship with men. And that fellowship with men is so close that as we get to the end, the Bible says, we also will reign together with God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And when you read it from the book of Revelation, the Bible says, I saw thrones, Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6. And those who had been seated on those thrones had been given authority to judge. I'm skipping other words. I want to go to verse 6, which says, they reign together with Christ for 1,000 years. And the other verse I want to give you is Revelation 3, 21. Him who overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So this is the big task, fellowship with God, to reign together with him. The purpose why God created man. But what God then does, he gives men an opportunity of probation before he promotes them to the actual reason why he created them. That's why when you read Ellen White in Counsels on Stewardship, page 22, she says, we should never forget that we are placed on trial in this world to determine our fitness for the future life. So it's like we are on probation. And Luke 16 would say, if you are faithful over small things, you will be put over much. This is why we need stewardship, so we can prove faithful in small things for the big things that God has created for us in the future.
Yeah. Now, how does stewardship in itself and being a steward build character and maturity?
So if I were to continue to share with you the quotation I was reading from Counsels on Stewardship, page 22, the part I just read was, we should never forget that we are placed on trial in this world to determine our fitness for future life. She then goes on to say, no one can enter heaven whose characters are defiled by the foul boat of selfishness. Therefore, God tests us here by committing to us temporal possessions, that our use of these may show whether we can be entrusted with eternal riches.
Mm-hmm.
So stewardship gives us an opportunity to build character as we undermine, as we press down, as we destroy selfishness and allow benevolence, concern for others, even who are below us, to grow in our hearts so that we can be fit for what God wants us to do. So stewardship is a very, very important element in terms of the development of Christian character, because it takes our attention from ourselves and puts our attention on others.
And I think that's a very good quality about it, actually, because if you think about it, truly, it removes all attention from ourselves. And if we've got all that attention to ourselves, then all the other byproducts, your pride and all of the other things then begin to emerge. But if we become stewards, then we become diligent with something that is outside of ourselves. I think it's actually a good quality. Do you think that God blended from the beginning that it should work on our characters like that eternally?
Actually, this is how God's kingdom works.
Mm.
God is always concerned about others.
Mm.
Like I told you, when he created us, he created us because he wanted to delight in us. So God is moving from inside himself outside so that he can have other creatures that he's relating to. And the way he has created human beings, if life will truly be fulfilling, is we are also not supposed to be thinking about ourselves, but we are supposed to be outward thinking. That's why when human beings are selfish and they're concerned about themselves, they die. Actually, as a pastor, this is what I've learned. When someone comes and they're depressed, one of the biggest medicines I can give them is to try and help them to stop focusing on themselves and focus on others. Can you be helpful? Can you be of benefit? And then that way you can even overcome depression and find meaning and purpose to life.
Man, it's a beautiful one. Pastor, I must leave you. It is time that we end it here. And I think we're ending it at a beautiful, beautiful point. I think this is a fantastic one. I've learned quite a bit. And I do hope that our listeners out there also have benefited quite a bit. Thank you so, so much for joining us. You want to conclude, highlight any point you want us to remember?
So God created human beings as stewards, blessed them on earth for a period of probation. It's not like he needs the work that we do, but the work that we do shows that we are faithful and we can be entrusted with the bigger things that he has set for us in the future. So we all need to continue to prove to be faithful stewards so that we can live to the big destiny that God has created for us, to sit together with him on his throne and reign together with him, to enjoy fellowship with him forever. So we need to understand as stewards that faithfulness is important so that we can be able to pass this period of probation.
Beautiful stuff. Pastor, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. We speak to you tomorrow, same time and same place.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.